What is the greatest enigma that human beings cut off from God cannot solve? And that is human evil.
You mean that
they can't solve it.
Oh, right.
No. Very hard to even control.
Yeah.
But they don't know the answer. And so everything that people try to be good and to do good fails. And the reason is that even though they may have a concept of Satan the devil, they don't know who he is or what he is or what he has really done and how he affects human beings. Nor do they understand about the creation of man and that man was made to need God, to need his spirit, to need his laws and commandments. So those are the sources of the enigma. Now we know that Revelation 12, so we'll just review this rather than go through all the scriptures again. Revelation 12 shows us that there was war in heaven, and that old serpent, Satan the devil, took a third of the angels with him in his rebellion. And with that war in heaven, we know that it was also on the earth before human beings were ever created. That resulted in the destruction of the earth and the first flood, as we find in Genesis 1:2. That's why it says, darkness covered the face of the deep, and the earth became without form and void. They do not realize either that Satan wanted to become like God. And so, not succeeding in that, then with the creation of man, God gave men choices. So we have to go back to the beginning here so we can understand the source of evil and what happened to mankind after Adam and Eve fell, because they did fall. There was the fall of Satan the devil, that's true. But there was also the fall of Adam and Eve. Verse 31, chapter 1, Genesis 1. This is a summary of everything that God did to renew the earth and prepare it for human beings. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was exceedingly good. So everything God did was good. God had it ready for man. And in the beginning, God created man in such a way that he was neither good nor evil. He was rather in a neutral position and given choices. So after God created Adam, he put him in the garden and commanded the man, verse 6, saying, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, in dying, you shall surely die. Now, Adam was created with a full functioning mind, a full thinking language, was able to communicate with God. And so, Adam and Eve were unique in as much as that they were formed by the hand of God, made directly by him. Now, we are not told how long that they were in the Garden of Eden before God sent the serpent in. Some people think it was days, some people think it was years, some people think it was decades. Either way, we're not told. But nevertheless, we can be guaranteed this. God would not send in the serpent unless Adam and Eve had been instructed sufficiently to make the right choice. And so that's the closest we can come to it. And the reason that we have what they did recorded here for us is because we will see that is the same sin as Satan. Satan said, I will get above the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so this is exactly what he told Adam and Eve. So let's read it here. Genesis, the third chapter. And as one man has mentioned to me, we've gone over this how many times, but how much more is there for us to learn here? And how much more do we understand Genesis 3 and 4 when we put the rest of the Bible together and look at the whole picture? Because as we know, the way to study is line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, and you put it all together. So let's begin here in Genesis 3 and verse 1, and we will find the origin of human sin. And then we will ask the question, why cannot other subsequent human beings born of man and woman be in a condition where they are not sinful? How did that happen? What happened? What occurred? See, this is significant because it's the first man and the first woman. Now, let's also understand this, that Satan and the angels fell in their war before God renewed the earth and before Adam and Eve were created. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any creature of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, is it true that God has said that you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Now, the way that you get someone to respond, to say something that is not true, and the way you engage them is that they will respond to you to correct you. Isn't that a normal reaction? All right. Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may freely eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has indeed said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Did she understand God's instructions? All right, yes, she did. Did Adam understand God's instructions? Yes, he did. But God gave man free moral agent, and all men and women must choose. So here we have the situation. A lot of people say, well, look what the woman did. She added to it, you shall not touch it lest you die. Well, perhaps that was subsequent instruction that God gave rather than an added thing. And say, you know, well, that's the way women always do. They add to it. Well, let's not blame the women. A lot of people say, well, Paul writes that Eve was deceived and transgressed, and Adam wasn't deceived. But, as we will see later, the punishment for sin came through Adam, not through Eve. Eve was part of it. All right. Now notice what the serpent said to the woman, verse 4. In dying, you shall not surely die. So he's admitting that they would die. But really, you're not going to die. Just like today, all religions have some form of spirit existence after you die, saying, when you die, you're really not dead. You know, just like in the so-called Christian religion today, you go to a funeral, and the minister, preacher, or the priest says, you know, Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so, I remember one that he was a, his hobby was golf. And so Bill is up there in heaven playing golf with Jesus right now. Yet his corpse is right here in the casket. So in dying, you shall not surely die. Now, isn't that what the Muslims have? They have exactly the same thing, don't they? If you jihad and blow yourself up, you go right to heaven and you're awarded 72 virgins. I know a quick way to stop all this jihad. Get a message from Allah saying, "We're out of virgins up here, guys. Stop it." Okay. So as we're going along here, we're not concerned with how long a time they had. Some people said, well, you know, why didn't they have children before Cain? Well, undoubtedly, God stopped the production of children or didn't allow the beginning of the production of children until after he determined what they were going to do when confronted with Satan. So they had to have enough knowledge. They had to have enough education, you know. They had to know that if you know to do good and do it not, that it is sin. Now, Satan comes along and changes the scenario. Now, what I want you to understand is that this is exactly the same thing in what they call the Hegelian three-step, which is this. You have theses, which is the truth you understand. You have antitheses, which is an opposite view questioning what you understand. They use it all the time today, don't they? And then you have what is called synthesis. Then you have a new understanding of things after you combine the theses and antitheses. And then the new synthesis becomes the new, what people call paradigm or synthesis. Anyone who tries to explain how evil comes about today and how Satan works, that's exactly how they're going to explain it. And we have it right here in Genesis 3. And because men do not understand the origin of evil, and they do not understand the sin within, they do not understand Genesis 3 and what happened. And that begins to become the whole key. Because, see, man and woman were made in the likeness and image of God, and they need God. They need His Spirit. They need His laws and commandments. Man, even though Adam and Eve were created neutral, neither righteous nor sinful, but had to choose. You see, this had to come about, and it determined the course of all the rest of humanity. So this is why, especially when you have atheists and you have agnostics and you have those who reject the Bible and they view human beings as good, and if we just treat them good and if we give them the right tools and the right everything, well, then everything will be fine. They do not account for Satan. They do not account for evil. And they don't know how to solve it. So let's go on and see how evil came to the human race. Now here's something that they couldn't resist. Verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like God, deciding good and evil. See? Not just knowing or experiencing good and evil, but deciding good and evil. That's the only way they became like God. In eating of the tree, they did not become more righteous. In the eating of the tree, they sinned and became evil. And that's then where human nature, we will see, in the way that we understand it today, began. All right. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And that's what everyone wants to be, right? God made us so that we want to become wise. We want to become educated. We want to do things. Isn't God's way that way too? Absolutely. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So he was standing there watching this whole conversation go on. All right, now hold your place back here in Genesis 3, and let's come back here to James, the first chapter. And let's see the process. She could have stopped this, and he could have stopped it at any time. What would have been the right answer for Eve to give? God said not to eat it. I don't care what you say, I'm not going to eat it. So what happened? Let's come back here to James, the first chapter, and let's see how James, the brother of Jesus, explained how sin works. And we will see that's exactly how it worked there in Genesis 3. All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 13. Do not let anyone who is tempted say, I'm being tempted by God. Were Adam and Eve tempted by God? No. Who was the tempting? Satan. He's called the tempter too, right? Because God is not tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one with evil. What he does, he gives choices. Will you obey, or will you not obey? Now let's see the same process happen with Eve here. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away and is enticed by his own lust. That's what happened to Eve. That also happened to Adam, didn't it? Everything they did was a choice. She chose to talk to the serpent. She could have said, you're not supposed to be in here. Adam was given the duty of guarding the garden. And he should have kicked him out, but didn't do it. All right. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own lust, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Lust is a wrong desire. Verse 15, and after lust has conceived, you think about it, you mull it over. You consider the proposition. God said, don't eat it. But the serpent said, if you do, you're going to be like God. You can decide what's right and wrong, good and evil. Why do you need God to tell you what's right and wrong, good and evil? Exactly the same thing. After lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is completely finished, brings forth death. Doesn't matter how many years long you live. It's like Solomon said, if you live 1,000 years twice told and die, that's vanity. All right, so that's the process we saw back here in Genesis, the third chapter. Let's go back here and see what else happened, and let's see the origin of human sin, because this becomes the entire proposition of the problems with human beings, their individual lives, their families, their communities, cities, states, countries, nations, governments, churches, religion. Now back here in Genesis 3. And he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now, everything that happened after they partook of the fruit, whatever the sin was that they were doing, was directly against God. Now, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. That's what people think today. They can hide themselves from God. If we do it in the dark, nobody knows. If we do it when no one else is around, how can anyone find out? God knew where they were, but he called to them, verse 9, saying, "Where are you?" God wanted them to respond to him. And he, that is Adam, said, "I heard you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I am naked, and so I hid myself." Now notice what he said here in verse 11. "And he said, 'Who told you you were naked?'" See, before they sinned and went against God, being naked was natural because they were the first man and the first woman. They saw no evil. They saw nothing wrong with it. So we don't know what sort of activity went on other than the fact that it was probably some kind of sexual sin, how involved in the sexual deviation and perversion that may have been there, we don't know. And any speculation is only speculation, and you can't base everything on speculation. The only thing we can base it upon is the laws that God has concerning sex later on. And typically, no one wants to take responsibility. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. So God, it's your fault. If you hadn't given me this woman, I wouldn't have eaten of the tree." Really? And God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Now we're going to see a little later on what happened to Adam and Eve because their nature was changed. When they were created, they were neutral. Though they were in the flesh, they weren't subject to death, nor did they have eternal life. They were just physical. Yeah. Good comment. Comment was made that when they went against God and disobeyed God, that was the sin. Every other activity after that is secondary to that major sin. And we will see this is the same sin that human beings repeat over and over and over and over and over and over. All right? "And the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock, above every animal of the field. You shall go upon your belly, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" This is actually the first prophecy of a Messiah to save them. In a coming letter that's coming out this week, I explain a little bit more about that, so you can read it there. All right, now let's see God's judgment here. When there is sin, there must be judgment, and with the judgment comes a penalty. "To the woman he said, 'I will greatly increase your sorrow and conception. In sorrow shall you bring forth children.'" So that shows she had no children up to that point. "Your desire shall be toward your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, 'Because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. The ground is cursed for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. It shall also bring forth thorns and thistles to you, and thus shall you eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And no man other than Christ has been able to overcome that, and there's a reason why he was able to overcome it." So what do we see? We see the whole environment change, don't we? Now let's see what else was changed. Let's come back here to Romans, the 5th chapter. And let's see what happened because of Adam's sin, that he wanted to decide good and evil for himself. And is that not the same sin that everyone does today? Even atheists. Now, at least Newdow said he has a religion, and that is atheism. And he feels as though that he does good things. Well, where does all good come from in the first place, which is very contradictory for a person to say, I don't believe in God, but yet I don't believe in committing adultery, I don't believe in murder, I don't believe in lying and stealing. Where'd that come from? It came from God. See, so that's why one who doesn't believe in God is a fool, who says in his heart there is no God. Now let's see, here is a key pivotal scripture, Romans 5 and verse 12. What happened to Adam and Eve? Because they died. They were not subject to death until they chose to sin against God. And the greatest sin was deciding for themselves what was good and evil, because that's a prerogative of God. Now, verse 12, Romans 5. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, not through Eve, though she did start it. Adam could have said to Eve, throw that fruit on the ground. What are you doing over there at the tree picking it? But he didn't. She took it and ate it and said, well, Adam, you know, this is really pretty good stuff. Really? Oh, why don't you have a bite? So he ate. It was sin. The sin was choosing to disobey God and to arrogate to himself the prerogative of God to decide good and evil. That's the sin. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by means of sin came death. Dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. In dying you shall surely die. Now notice what happened, and this is a critical translation, and in translating this correctly, I think this one verse occupied more of my time in research and going into the Greek to understand really what happened. So here's the best translation that we can get out of the Greek. In this way, death passed into all mankind. How did it pass to all mankind? Some people believe that babies are born pure and innocent. Well, really, by the time they're about 9 months old, you can see human nature already working in them, right? Maybe even sooner than that. But notice, death passed into all mankind. Everyone has a death gene. Everyone has the nature of death. And it is for this reason that all have sinned. Now, if you have a nature of death, how can you of your own, without God, without the commandments of God, without the Spirit of God, do good as God defines good? You can't, even though you try to be a do-gooder. Look at government. Government is filled with do-gooders. They're called bureaucrats, right? And what happens with every bureaucratic thing? It ends up a horrible mess. If you don't think that is true, witness what's happening in the world today in every nation. So, having the nature of death, you also have the nature of sin. Because it is for this reason that all have sinned. Because not only were Adam and Eve created incomplete, needing the Spirit of God, needing the laws and commandments of God, all human beings have been created incomplete, and we have the added component that we have the law of death within us, and as we will see a little later on, it is also called the law of sin. And this becomes important. Now, just to clarify it, verse 13, for before the law, sin was in the world. Now, when you know that sin is a transgression of the law, you know that there was law. But this is before the law given to Israel. Sin was in the world. However, sin is not imputed when law does not exist. So that's telling us that law did exist. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even upon those who had not sinned in the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Nobody sinned directly in the face of God like Adam and Eve. Question is, are we talking about Satan's sin as well, or just human sin? No, we're talking about human sin here. Yes. We're talking about human sin here. So this tells us that the sin of Adam and Eve, directly in the face of God, in the presence of God, after being created personally by God, after being taught personally by God, chose with deliberation to transgress against God, to arrogate to themselves the prerogative to decide good and evil. And when that happened, then God's judgment changed their nature. Instead of being neutral, so if they would have chosen to eat of the tree of life, they would have been on the path to eternal life. So now, instead of being neutral, since they chose to sin and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to decide for themselves what is good and what is evil, death passed into them. It was an absolute sure thing. Well, let's come over here to Romans 8. We'll just go ahead a little bit further. Because this is the knowledge that is missing in trying to create a society that is going to be good and just and right and without crime, if we could put it that way, sin. Because they do not account for the sin within. Now, let's come here, back up just a little bit, Romans 7, verse 23. We'll come back here to Romans 7 again a little later. Okay? Verse 23, Romans 7. But I see another law within my own members. That means within his own being. In other words, in his mind. And a question that even psychologists and psychiatrists and even theologians who reject God cannot understand the sin within. Why is it that good people always, it seems like they've had a good life all their life, and then they reach a point and they flip out, and they sin, and they commit evil, murder, adultery, fornication, perversion? Here's why. I see another law warring within my members. This is the downward pull of evil of human nature that every human being has, that is inherited genetically going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Warring against the law of my mind, and the law of this mind was with the Spirit of God. This is why there is a battle between right and wrong, good and evil within our minds to overcome, which many people in the world don't have because they're not trying to overcome the evil. They all succumb to the evil in varying degrees, leading me captive to the law of sin that is within my members. Part of his very being. Now, when we come over here, the ultimate result is this. Romans 8 and verse 2. Here is the only deliverance from death and the law of sin. Let's go to verse 1. Consequently, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are not walking according to the flesh. And we'll see what that means a little later. But according to the Spirit, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death. Hasn't removed it, but delivered you from the clutches of it, so that you can overcome it. You can overcome sin within, and at the resurrection, after having had the Spirit of God, you'll be resurrected. Now let's notice something very important here, verse 3. Because human beings think, especially legislators and religionists, how do you stop evil? You make a law. Did a law ever stop anyone from doing anything if they chose to go against the law? They chose to sin? Doesn't everybody know murder is wrong? Well, there are a lot of people today, because they've been educated in the wrong way, don't think anything's wrong with adultery and fornication. A lot of people think, well, you shouldn't steal, but if you do and don't get caught, that's a good thing. So you see the way human nature does. Understand this, no law anywhere has any power to force anyone to do anything, not even the commandments of God, because there is choice that all human beings have to exercise. All right? So let's look at the conclusion of the matter, and then we'll fill in the rest of it as we go along. So we have within us the law of sin and death. That's part of our human nature. That's why even the very best of us, even being converted, do not evil thoughts come along? What do you do with them then? How do you get rid of them then? Well, we'll talk about that, see. Because you know, deep down inside, you understand the evil of your own human nature to a certain degree. You can't get rid of it yourself. But there is a way out, and the only way is Christ. Verse 3. For what was impossible for the law to do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Because the flesh has this sinful nature. The flesh gives in to temptation. The flesh gives in to lust. God. See, God has to intervene, having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh. That's why, as we're going to see, there has to be repentance, baptism, laws of God, Spirit of God, all involved in correcting the problem of the inherited sin within. Let's take a break.